Good afternoon. Welcome you to our first day of March oral arguments. And we have some special guests with whom I met during the lunch hour. And they are Lakeland Union High School students. Will they please stand? Thank you for coming, and thank you for coming for the noon session. You may be seated. Students are here with a program sponsored by the Supreme Court and the State Bar of Wisconsin. It's a national award-winning program, and it's cleverly entitled Court with Class. We invite students from across the state to come join us for an oral argument. If the invitation is accepted, the students come. They are given a material about the case, and they may engage in some activities relating to the case. A justice of the court is assigned to meet with the students who come to the oral arguments and discuss the procedures of the court, not the substantive issues of the case. And that we did that at noon. If anyone would like a summary of the case we're about to hear, the deputy marshal can give you one if you raise your hand. Right? We've got a couple of takers. Thank you. Let me introduce the court to you all while that's being done. On my far right is Justice Annette Ziegler. Seated next to her is Justice David Friday. To my immediate right is Justice Ann Walsh Bradley. I'm Shirley Abrahamson, the Chief Justice. To my left is Justice Patrick Crooks, and to his left, Justice Patience Robinsack. And on the far left, Justice Michael Gableman. With those introductions made, I will call our last case for today, 09AP2315, Joyce Affelt versus Green Lake County. Representing the Affelts is Attorney Christine Ann Snow. Ms. Snow, you may proceed.
May it please the court, I represent Alan Joyce and David Affelt. Joyce and David are here with me in the courtroom today. And their family has farmed in Green Lake County for longer than all of our lifetimes here. We're here today to address the limits of Green Lake County's right-of-way for County Highway B, which is adjacent to both of their farms. David owns the farm on the south side of the road, and Joyce and Alan own the farm on the north side of the road. It occurred to me today as I walked into the Capitol building amongst all the demonstrations that are going outside and we can hear right now that a person's rights relative to the government, whether they're property rights as we have here, collective bargaining rights, or due process rights, are some of the most dear rights that we have as Americans and Wisconsinites. And they inspire the strongest of emotions here. While it doesn't seem a big deal to a lot of people about whether this road is 3 rods wide, 4 rods wide, it matters to the Affelts. It matters to them because it involves their property rights and the extent of their property. And it matters to them in a very tangential way because as a result of this case, trees that had bordered on their property for years are now gone. They're cut down. And when faced with governmental action, it's a cornerstone of our democracy to be able to stand up, object to what's going on, and be heard. And so I feel honored to be here today to be able to let their voices be heard by you in this most distinguished of forums.
Counsel, this is a summary judgment decision, which means there are no genuine issues of material fact, and the issue could be decided on that basis. Tell me what genuine issues of material fact you presented such that the grant of summary judgment was not appropriate and it should go back for a full hearing.
Well, as you know, at the trial court level, it was assumed that this was an unrecorded highway. So at the trial court level, the issue that was addressed by the trial court in deciding summary judgment was not an issue of law, but whether we had brought it forth enough facts or disputed facts to show that there was that we met this threshold that they describe in Threl Fall and Nicolai about this ancient fences doctrine to rebut the presumption. And that was really one of my strongest objections to the court's underlying ruling, because he seemed to acknowledge that there were disputed issues of fact, but he wasn't going to give my clients a trial anyway. So when we were at summary judgment and when I posited it for the Court of Appeals, to me it was a very strong case for an abuse of the standard under 80208 for summary judgment, because there were disputed issues of fact. My clients have set forth many, both a survey that they proposed as well as their own testimonies regarding the limits of the highway and how it was within the four rod right-of-way that was alleged by the county. They had numerous encroachments on that right-of-way on their property. There's a building that's erected within the right-of-way if it's alleged to be four rods wide. And the fencing, especially along the south, if you look at the survey that was done by the county's own surveyor, shows that the fencing that goes all along the south side of the road, almost all of it is within their alleged four-rod right-of-way. So we believe that we set forth enough facts to get past that issue. Now, once we got to the Court of Appeals, they framed the legal issue slightly different. They framed the legal issue looking at whether the road was a recorded laid-out highway and therefore that rebutting of the presumption wouldn't even come into play. So once it got to the Court of Appeals and they posited the question that way.
It would, if it was a recorded highway, the presumption would come into play. It would just have a different set of standards that neither party seems to be contending are at issue in this case.
If it's a laid-out highway, the ancient fences doctrine does not apply. That's correct.
Okay, so really, it seems to me that if it's sent back, the issues would have to be discussed in regard to whether it was a recorded, either perfectly or imperfectly recorded highway, or whether it was a highway created by public use in the 1800s. And then different presumptions. Would you please take a few minutes to describe the difference of the presumptions between the two?
Well, with respect to if it's a laid-out highway that's recorded.
Okay, when you say laid out, please indicate what you mean.
Well, that's a good question, because the cases are all over the map on what laid out means. So if you take a look at Jacobski versus Town of Apnamee, which was decided in 1944, they said that they looked at and said in dicta, citing State Rex Rel Reynolds versus Babcock, that laid out is sufficiently comprehensive to include any act or process by which the public obtains right-of-way in lands, whether it be by act of the legislature, by order of the Board of County Supervisors or Town Supervisors, by grant, dedication, or otherwise. I look at it as a governmental action that establishes the boundaries of that road. It's not enough for it to become a county road. If that's the only determination for laying out a highway, then every highway in this state is considered a laid out road.
Right. So you see the distinction. Well, now by that last statement, you've just taken away what I thought your distinction. I thought you were making a distinction between laid out highways, when my review of the cases indicate that one of the important distinctions here is whether it was a recorded highway, either perfectly recorded or imperfectly recorded. And it seems to me, based on my review of the cases, that would lead to one set of presumptions that your clients would have to overcome versus a highway created by public use, which it seems to me is what your clients are alleging. And that's what gets us into the location of ancient fences and trees and the like.
Right. What I think that is missing here, or what the Court of Appeals missed as well, is the distinction between whether it's recorded and unrecorded and whether it's laid. The recording is not necessarily definitive. It's the laying out that's important. And so the cases that we're talking about here, or that I've seen, where they're talking about the laying out of the highway is coming into use because the government is saying there's going to be a highway at X place. That's the laying out procedure. And then once it's laid out by the government, then they start using the highway and everything else. Now, whether that highway was laid out and recorded, or whether there was some imperfect recording going on, that's another question. But, like, if you look at Barrows, they couldn't find any order at all. And so then the court examined whether it was laid out. And even though there was no order, they looked at the surrounding circumstances and determined that the road had to have been a laid-out road because of the nature it had been recorded in plats, described in ancient plats as having been a laid-out road, there were multiple surveys from dating back, I think actually as far as 1848, that showed the road in the surveys as 4 rods wide and having been laid out. That's what we don't have here. This road, it's uncontroverted that this road dated back to the 1800s and had been in existence long before 1939 when the county decided to take some action regarding this road. If it had already been laid out by the county and maybe an imperfect recording, the county wouldn't have had to go through that process. But it wasn't. It was a road that was established by the users of the area going down a quarter section line. And then it wasn't until actually in 1930, the town of Green Lake, there was a failed petition to try and make it a town road. And then in 1939, then finally the county, which was a very curious thing in my book, but they said that they were going to be, the county said they were going to be making it a town road. But it wasn't until that point that they put in a legal description and said, well, it's going to start at point A and go to point B. Now, the other thing that's curious about that description that they have there, if you compare that to the surveys that are in the record, it says that it starts at the midway point of the east half of section 27. The survey does not show the center of the road as being along that quarter section line. The center of the road actually lies quite a few feet south of that quarter section line, and that's shown on the surveys. If this was a laid out road, and you can see that in some of the other cases, such as I think it was Barrows, they had markers. They showed that the road went along that legal description that was in the document that laid out the road by the government.
You may want to take a few minutes, and I don't want to tell you how to fashion your argument, but you may want to take a few minutes addressing the Court of Appeals holding here in regard to a finding that Highway B is a recorded highway and what that would actually, I assume you're going to say why they were wrong, and in your opinion, and then if you could spend a few minutes after that indicating why that's important.
Well,
just a minute, if I may,
sure.
Just to assist me, because that's a very important question, but I need a framework of analysis or I'm going to be lost. And I came in here thinking that the framework of analysis was, is it recorded or is it unrecorded? I hear you saying something else, and so all the answers to the questions are going to be sifted through my framework of analysis. I hear you saying that the framework of analysis is whether it is laid out or not laid out, and I further think I hear you say that recording or non-recording is kind of evidence of whether or not it is laid out. But the real focus of inquiry is laid out or not laid out, rather than recording or not recorded. Help me. I'm struggling with this.
I will, just because, Justice Bradley, that was my starting point, too. The recording, either perfectly recorded or imperfectly recorded, I didn't see a particular distinction as far as this case is concerned, but I, too, before you started, I too, was looking at it more as a distinction between a recorded highway and seeing the laying out process as kind of the opposite of how you do that, that I see laying out as part of the recording process, at least in terms of the analysis for this case. So I thank Justice Bradley for her good question.
I think part of the confusion comes in the way that the Court of Appeals wrote their decision and summary.
Could you answer the question? Is the analysis laid out versus unlaid out? Is that what you're saying? Then I can plug everything you say into that.
I believe the analysis is laid out versus unlaid out. And
thank you.
And the reason being is because the statute is worded as, if it's a recorded, laid out highway, a presumption applies. And that portion of the statute, the top portion of the statute, I'd say, because it's the first one that's addressed, that one, the four-rod presumption applies, and that was in existence at the time that this order came out, okay? Now, the second presumption, or the second address, second part, was addressed to unrecorded highways. And up until we got to the Court of Appeals, everybody assumed here that this was an unrecorded highway.
Can I stop you?
Mm-hmm.
Why talk about unrecorded highways and presumption if the focus is laid out versus unlaid out?
Probably just because of the procedural posture, in my view, because what's important here is, and if you look at Barrows is one where they looked at and they said the procedural process was not followed. And so then they looked at whether the road was laid out or not laid out. And then they presumed that if it was a laid out unrecorded highway, that the presumption or the rebuttable presumption that Nicolai creates doesn't apply. Nicolai only applies to roads created by user.
I didn't want to interrupt Justice the question from Justice Gableman, so if you could get to that. I just needed a little straightening out.
You know, my lower court arguments and all the way up to until we had the supplemental briefing at the Court of Appeals, it always focused on this is an unrecorded highway created by user. That's my client's whole claim, is this has been created by user. This has gone back to the 1800s. They can rebut the presumption, and that has long been the case that the presumption can be rebutted by showing the limits of use if it's a road created by user. So I think you're right that the recording part is kind of a red herring, but the statute is worded that way, which is why it comes up in the briefing so much. But really the underlying crux is whether this is a laid out highway or a highway created by user.
You done answering the question so far?
Pardon?
Are you finished answering the questions so far?
Yes.
Okay. I have a question. This resolution dates back to the 30s, right?
Correct, 1939.
Right. Why are we looking at statutes that are effective in 2009? Why aren't we looking at the statutes that were effective when this was, and I don't want to use the word laid out. It wasn't recorded, but there was a resolution, right, setting forth a description of the highway.
Correct.
And if you look at the 1939 statutes, I'm wondering whether or not, whether it fit under the 1939 statutes of 80.01. Why wasn't any defect cured by the statute in 1943, which was a 5-year curative statute? And why isn't 8008 of 1939 applicable, which says except as otherwise provided in 80.13, highways shall be laid out at least 3 rods wide. And when no width is specified in the order, and no width was specified in the resolution, right?
Correct.
The highway shall be 4 rods wide. Why doesn't that govern this rather than all these new statutes?
Well, I think you're exactly right. I think we do go back to this, which is why I included the 1939 statutes in my appendix.
So why isn't it 4 rods under 80.08?
Because that only applies to laid roads.
Pardon me?
It only applies to laid roads. If you look,
it says highways shall be laid out at least 3 rods, and when no width is specified. So you think this is not laid out? Is that
correct.
Your point?
Correct, exactly. So if you look at the note to that section, mm-hmm. which I also included, it says there is no presumption as to the width of a highway by user, and there they cite Nicolai.
They cite what?
Nicolai.
Nicolai, okay. So we really are, should be looking at the 1939-43.
Well, that was what was in effect, and that's what the county would have had as their guidance. What's kind of interesting about this case is that in 1939, if you look at the cases that were in the Supreme Court that we've cited in our brief, there's a lot of activity in this area right at that time. So Buchanan versus Wolfinger, for example, was decided just 2 years later in May of 1941, and then they amended the statute slightly in June of 1941 to address an issue about defect on the award of damages. That was recognized in Zibelowski versus Town of New Hope in 1943. Then Jakubowski was decided in 1944. So there is a lot going on at this time that in 1939 when the county made this finding or whatever it did, saying that we're going to start working this road. But the statutes that were in effect at the time and the case law, including Nicolai, said that if it's a road created by user, then you can look at the parameters of the use. So when this road became under the county's jurisdiction, what did they think they were getting? And I don't believe that what they did in 39 laid out the highway. The highway was already there. If you look at both Buchanan, Jakubowski, Walker versus County of Green Lake, all those cases, or most of those cases, involved where they were actually opening up a brand new highway. So even though there were defects in the highway order, they were opening the highway according to what they thought they were doing when they laid out the highway.
What was the defect?
In Buchanan.
No, in our case.
In our case, it was never filed with the town clerk. There's been no finding that there's any document at the town clerk level. It was a county board action which proposed to add it to the town system of roads, which I don't know how they have the authority to add a road to the town system of roads. Mm-hmm. It wasn't signed by the supervisors as required and filed at the town at the town level with the town clerk, and the clerk was required to put some recording notations on the order itself. As far as I can tell, there was no actual highway order created at all by the county, none much less filed with the town.
Well, was there an attempt to dedicate this highway, lay it out?
Well, we can't tell that from the record. Well, we can't
even an attempt you can't tell from the record? I mean, what'd they pass this for? What I'm trying to get at is in 1943 you had a curative statute which says any plat, street, highway, dedicated, attempted, intended to be dedicated, all laid out, or attempted to be laid out, altered, vacated, discontinued by the authorities of any county, town, city, or village, shall be held to have been lawfully so dedicated, laid out, altered, vacated, or discontinued from and after the expiration of 5 years from the date of instrument, resolution, or other final proceeding.
Well,
why wasn't this cured so we have a laid out highway?
Because I think
we apply 4 rods.
Because I think it gets to the crux of how was this highway created? Here we've got that curative statute is basically saying if you've got a highway that the county is plowing and maintaining and paving and doing all the things that they need to do, and they made an error in how they filed the order, maybe like in, Buchanan, for example, they didn't do that award of damages. There was some defect that prevented that order from making it a valid order. They're saying if everybody acquiesces and says that the county is continuing to operate this, then great. That's just fine. It's still going to be a county highway as opposed to a private, non-public highway. But in terms of determining whether the presumption applies about what the county gets, what's the limit of what the county got when they got this highway in 39? You got to look at what law was out there, and if it was created by user, which we have evidence going back to the 1800s that this highway was, and the county didn't become involved until 1939. We've got decades of use here. What did the county get when it did this? Well, I think they got what was enclosed by the fence lines here. How could they say that they were getting beyond that when they didn't even put it in their own order? So, you know, I understand what you're saying, but I think it gets back to this, was it a laid road or was it not a laid road? And I think the evidence here is quite strong that we're at a point where we've at least got an issue for trial here. My clients haven't even been afforded a trial. We've got surveyors that are making legal opinions, such as Mr. He's with Ayers and Associates. He makes the legal opinions that he thinks it's a laid road with no evidence whatsoever. But there's nothing out there. There's no documentation showing it was ever one that was created by the government.
And describe again what you mean by laid out.
I believe that laid out encompasses the process by which a government sets forth the essentially legal description of the road and then subsequently opens up that road.
And in your opinion, the resolution doesn't fit laid out?
Correct, because it was already a highway in existence. It's there to identify the highway. It's there to say this existing highway, and here's the description of which portion of that highway we're going. We're only going from State Highway 73 on the east over to Danz's Tavern Corner or whatever it was on the west. That's the portion of the highway that we're addressing here, but this road is already in existence. So the county is taking control of that road that's already in existence there, but they're not saying, well, we're going to go out and blaze a trail through the prairie here from the mid-quarter section of Highway 73 over to Danz's Tavern Road and go along in an easterly direction along this line, because as you can see from the survey, they didn't do that. It's several feet short or south of where that quarter section line is. So the road was already in existence, several yards short. They generally described it. It's pretty close to the quarter section line, but it's not exactly there. But the road was already in existence.
May I ask, the county's position is that they own 66 feet. And I think I understood you to say that some trees within that hypothetical area have been already been cut.
Yes.
Has fencing been removed?
Some fencing has been removed. Some of it is still standing, but a lot of the which is why we had the survey done.
And what about that building you referred to?
The building is still there. That extends a foot or two into the right-of-way area. It's a shed. And they had obtained a variance to place it within the setback from the road, which is 75 feet from the center line of that road, but it extends into the alleged right-of-way by the county. Of course, that wasn't an issue that was raised at the time of that. All they were addressing was the setback from the center line of the road back 75 feet under the ordinances.
Did you say they had been granted a variance? Or?
Correct. And that documentation is, I believe it's an exhibit to Mr. Selsing's brief.
Now, let's say you prevailed all the way along the line. What is the remedy that you're seeking?
The remedy that we're seeking would be to go back to the trial court and have a trial on this issue.
I mean, if you won a trial, what is the remedy you're seeking?
Well, they should receive damages for the unlawful removal of the trees and the fencing. And if it's determined that this is somehow a taking, that they should be compensated for that. But we've got issues where they've gone in and removed all of these trees along this area, and you can see that from the surveys. I forget exactly right now how many trees were removed, but there are trees that have been removed along that area, along with the fencing there.
You have an idea what a ballpark figure
of the number of trees?
I mean, what's the value of all this?
Well, the value is to my client is this is property of theirs. My client to the south has a fence line and farms all of that land to the south. If the county's right of way extends below what they're below that fence line, they're losing farmland all along that fence line. Likewise, to the north, there's areas there that they're losing as well, not as much because the farm is situated on the corner. But there's land that's lost there. There's also, depending on where the right-of-way, I don't know how far you want me to get into this, but there is an easement that's dependent on where the right-of-way is for utilities. So it impacts not just the issues that are addressed in this particular case, but it could have some long-standing issues. My clients are just one party along this road. This road extends further down, and the county has extended this view all the way down the road. Now, this is the type of thing where they've come in and said, four rods wide, and that's it. And if my clients don't stand up for their rights, who's going to? If they owned a little smaller portion and it wasn't worth them objecting to it, then maybe that they wouldn't have objected. But this is it's principle to them, and it does make a difference to them.
Do we have any idea? You didn't have a trial.
Correct.
You do have a 1939 document. Do we have any idea when the road was paved?
When the road was paved, and that's not part of the record.
Does that make any difference?
Well, we know that it wasn't until that point that the county became involved and did anything. So if it was paved before that point, it was done by either my clients or other landowners in the area. It wasn't until 1939 that the county took an active role in maintaining that highway. We know that for a fact. So whether it was a gravel road or a paved road, I don't think it matters. In Threlfall, for example, which was that Court of Appeals decision that applied Nicolai, that case was a gravel road. And they still were looking at the parameters of use and whether they rebutted the presumption to make it a public highway and things like that. So it's, you know, whether it was paved or not paved, we know that the county didn't become involved in maintaining it until after 1939.
In response to Justice Process's question, you said when it goes back, you would have a trial on damages and maybe compensation for a taking. Aren't there any issues before that that have to be resolved?
Oh, absolutely. There's a trial on the liability altogether.
Well, what about any trial or any evidence have to be taken about whether this is laid out or not, whether it's been cured in some manner?
Well, I believe that's exactly the specific facts about whether this was laid out or not laid out. Mr. Ingram, who is the expert that was hired by the county, he posited that it was laid out in 1800, but I failed to see from his affidavit how he could ever have come to that conclusion because he doesn't provide any facts that support that. Now, as an opposition to that, there are all kinds of facts showing that it existed on maps and dated back to the 1800s as a road that was out there. And there were failed attempts in the 1930 and then finally somewhat successful in 39 to add it. But I think those are issues for the trier of fact to decide about whether it was laid out or not laid out. And most of the cases that you see here, they had a trial to the court, and then it came up on appeal to review whether the trial court properly determined whether it was a laid out road or a road created by user.
Because your statement of the issues would indicate that it needed some additional factual issues, like if it's unrecorded, was it a highway created by user? Do disputed issues of material fact exist regarding whether ancient fences, tree lines, and other barriers rebutted it? That looks like a fact. And then the fourth one you have looks like an issue of law. What issues of law do we have to decide so that you go back?
Well, I think you need to look at what, you know, the questions that you were asking me early on. What is a laid out highway? That I think is an important statement that needs to be made definitively in the law, because these cases from the 1940s, they mix up recording and laying out all together. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the actual facts of the case, what they're really talking about is the procedure by which they're going out and they're setting forth the limits of the highway and then opening it up for public use.
Do we have to decide as a matter of law whether the 3943 statutes apply or the later statutes?
Well, I think that would be part of it, about whether there's any retroactivity of because they've clearly changed the they've stated later on in the statutes, even making some changes fairly recently in 2005 to the statutes.
You make reference to a 1951 statute also.
The 1951 statute created the presumption for the unrecorded highways, which hadn't been in existence prior to that time.
Mm-hmm. Any other issues of law that have to be decided by this court?
Well, if you would find that the later presumptions apply retroactively, does that deny my client due process? Because at the time when this petition would have been filed, the law said that there was a presumption for recorded laid out highways, but not for unrecorded highways. And that was at the time if there was a resolution, I'm assuming there was a petition, there's some type of resolution by the county at that time, a public hearing certainly by the county board, but what were they getting? And were my clients notified that they were intending to take the full 4-rod width or what was enclosed by the fences, which is somewhat less than that?
The court recently issued an opinion relating to fences, not in the same area as this, Borst. Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
Does it have any application here?
I was really hopeful when I took a look at it because of the ancient fences that it described in there. But the difference between this case and that case.
The evidentiary doctrine of acquiescence.
Correct. Mm-hmm. But the difference between that case and this case is it was deciding the rights of home or landowners against each other, right, as opposed to governmental action. Mm-hmm. So in reviewing those cases, it didn't, you're looking at the
different
deeds
line
and
of cases.
The surveys and things like that, and talking about private landowner rights vis-a-vis each other, as opposed to what, you know, due process rights are implicated by the.
There was a road, and had the court gone to survey instead of ancient fences, it would have affected the road.
Well, and And one of the reasons why I pointed out to you that the quarter section line is higher than the median of the highway,
right.
I think, you know, if the Court of Appeals is correct in their determination that this is a laid out road, then it was laid out wrong. And the parameters that the county is asserting in their survey of where this road is, that's not the road because it's really the other area. It's really the area off of the quarter line, two rods in each direction, which is going to move this road and its right of way north by several feet.
So then
that building that we are talking about is going to be even more encroaching upon the right of way. But my clients to the south, their fence would not be within the right of way.
And the Borst case involved a road, too.
Correct.
All right. Thank you, counsel. You have 5 minutes in rebuttal. Is it Sicing? Representing Green Lake County.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Pleases the court. My name is John Selsing. I am the Corporation Counsel for Green Lake County. I'm not sure how much I'm going to change my presentation trying to respond to the court's questions, but there are, in effect, and I see it, three issues before the court. We're looking at is Wisconsin Statute 82.31, subsection 1, and that then is issue number one, whether the requirements of recording and being laid out have been met. Issue number two then goes to 82.31.2, which is if it's not laid out, there's a presumption it's 66 feet wide, and have they submitted facts and evidence that would rebut that presumption? And I guess the third issue, which ties in with both of them, is summary judgment appropriate. I know the court does not want to hear reciting a lot of facts, and I won't do that because I'm sure you've read the briefs. But I think there are some things I need to go over, some history and some background that may help. First off, we're talking here about a county's need, any municipality's need and rights to maintain their right-of-ways, to keep encroachments out of the highway right-of-ways so they can be worked on. A highway is, in fact, a four-rod highway. It's 66 feet wide, 33 feet from the center each direction. So you have about 16 feet of blacktop. You have another 16, 17 feet of gravel and ditching. Highway B is located near Marquezan, southern part, and to some extent it has been in existence since the 1880s. It has been worked and it has been maintained as a four-rod highway for more than 3 years, as is required by Statute 82.31.1, and for more than 10 years, as required by 82.31.2. These facts are not disputed. In 2008, the Green Lake County Highway Committee directed that there should be a reconstruction project on Highway B. All property owners were notified. Only the one parties here objected to it. There's approximately 8 different property owners and farmers on this road. Only one objected. That was the plaintiffs in this case. I think to understand why this is going on, you have to understand what's involved in a road reconstruction. They actually have to remove everything from our right-of-way. They have to take equipment in because the State Department of Transportation requires that there's engineering studies done that determines how the water is then pitched off of the road, so that controls the pitch of the blacktop. You also have to have engineering as to how the water stays in the ditches and does not come back on the road. The second issue for removing the encroachments within the 66 feet is a public safety issue. If, in fact, there's a patch of ice, someone loses control, this eliminates them from hitting trees, fences, telephone poles within the right-of-way. And the third purpose for utilizing the whole 66 feet is that many times this is the opportunity where your above-ground utilities are brought below ground and put underground. So it is important that for them to be able to operate equipment, for them to do the engineering, to have the pitch and the grade, that they need to utilize all 66 feet, and, of course, for safety reasons, so there's not obstacles or encroachments for people to have accidents and be hurt. I'm going to skip over. I was going to get into the part about their existence of their fencing was, in effect, sparse, was not consistent in terms of setting up a boundary unless the court asked me questions. I'm doing this.
I have a question. It'll be the same one I asked opposing counsel. Well, maybe the exact opposite, actually. How can you say that there aren't genuine issues of material fact, given what she said in her argument? It sure does sound like this may have been around for quite some time before 1939, and aren't those at least genuine issues of material fact? Shouldn't there at least be a full hearing and a determination?
Respectfully, no. If you look at the two different statutes, this is what the Court of Appeals distinguished. There is no presumption, there is no rebutting a presumption if you deal with 82.31.1. It simply says if it's a laid-out highway and it's a recorded highway, it's a legal highway.
Does it matter when it's laid out and recorded?
It doesn't say. In fact, I think there's a reason that 82.31.1 and 2 make reference that it only has to be for either 3 years or 10 years. And the statute clearly says, under number 1, it only has to have been a recorded laid-out highway for 3 years. Then it is a four-ride highway. So I think the statute is very clear in that regard. If this is the case, if it is in fact laid out and recorded, it's four rides. You have to read 8150 with that because that defines an accounting what four, you know, what a legal highway is. It's four rides. But clearly it says 3 years, or if it's the other way, it's 10 years. And I think I know the reason for that, and I can't cite you chapter and verse, but I've done this one before, this type of case before, because surveys today will place property in a different location than surveys done in 1939, 1959, or 1979 because of the technology. It's not uncommon at all. I do a lot of real estate work. It's not uncommon at all. If you had a survey from 1939 in a rural setting, when they do the survey today, it's not going to be in the same place. That is why they talk about it being in terms of 3 and 10 years. If it's there and if it's being used, you go where the highway is, not what the description was 50 or 100 years ago.
Well, is this laid out and recorded?
Excuse me?
Is this highway laid out or recorded or both?
Yes, both.
Is it recorded?
It is recorded in the county clerk of court's office.
Not in the register of deeds office.
No, and it respectfully does not have to. If you look at the definitions in 82.01, the first under number 4, the definition of laid out means any formal act or process by which a municipality determines the location of a highway.
All right.
So if we look at resolution number 38, this was actually a formal process taken by the Green Lake County Board of Supervisors. It was a regular monthly meeting, so it was a published meeting. It was when they're in full session. They identified the location of the property. They took a vote. They published the results of the vote. They had the chairman sign and the county clerk attest. That's a formal process by a municipality to, in fact, lay out this road. I don't know how else to interpret that paragraph 4. The part about being recorded, if you look at the second half of the definition, again, 8201, this is paragraph 8, talks about the definition of a recorded highway, means a highway for which the order laying out or altering the highway or a certified copy of the order has been recorded in the office of the Register of Deeds in the county which is situated, or, and it says, or, for highways that were laid out or altered before January 1st, 2005 in the office of the clerk of the town or the county in which the highway is situated. So, because this road was laid out prior to January 1st, 2005, it can be recorded in either the town's clerk's office or the county clerk's office. The fact that resolution number 38 exists is, in fact, it is recorded. All documents, all resolutions by a county are recorded by the county clerk. This, what was actually submitted as part of the exhibit, is the publication, the county board proceedings. This is where this resolution is actually recorded, and is all of them are recorded every year. All the resolutions are put in written, published form, and that's why this is in the format it is.
Are we governed by these statutes, or are we governed by the statutes in existence at the time of the resolution?
I think we have to be governed by the statutes today. I mean, you know, just like you had Chapter 82 itself, it's a matter of a few years ago, you had Chapter 80, you had Chapter 81. They were consolidated for, I believe, a purpose, and that is so that we have something current, something that's consistent to go by. I guess I cannot imagine trying to have us as a county attorney interpret what was going on in 1939. The statute today, I think, is rewritten and was recodified for a purpose, and that is to give us what the rules are today. And I think there's simply, just like the Court of Appeals said, you have one option, which is if, in fact, it is recorded and it is laid out, which in this case I think it is, you don't have to go any farther. If it's not recorded and not, resolved or laid out, then you have to go to the second part, which is we think it's 66 feet. Can they rebut that presumption? And that's where Threfel case comes in to give you some very strict guidelines as to what it takes to rebut that presumption.
Counsel, is the resolution here, the 1939 resolution, an order?
Excuse me?
Is the resolution here, which, I have to be careful with my terms, but which described the road, which I think was in 1939, is that an order? Is a resolution an order?
Yes, it is.
Can you help me with that?
A resolution is an action and an order taken by the county board directing certain actions to occur. An ordinance would be, in effect, a municipal law with a penalty and a fine.
Okay.
So this
just,
is...
Let me stop. You said a resolution is an act and an order. That's what you said. Now, I'm with you on the first one. Resolution is an act, but tell me why a resolution is an order. And, of course, I ask that question because under the definitions of recorded highway, under 82.01 sub 8, recorded highway means highway for which the order laying out or altering the highway, and it all seems to be dealing with an order. So I just want to know if a resolution is an order, and give me your authority for that.
I guess I cannot cite you a specific statute. It's just a distinction between a resolution and an order. But I would point out, if you look at the very top of this resolution, it states that the following describe lying wholly in the towns of Green Lake and Marquette be added to the system of town roads maintained by the county. Now, to me, that is an order coming from the county board directing that this road be added to the list of their roads and directing the county to further to maintain it. I think by its wording, it would be consistent with an order.
Highway order under sub 3 means this, and I'm just reading this for the first time, so bear with me. Highway order, because I'm hoping it answers my question, means an order laying out... altering or discontinuing a highway or a part of a highway that contains a legal description of what the order intends to accomplish and a scale map of the land affected by the order. I always have problems when they say an order, highway order is an order. That doesn't totally help me, but so does this resolution meet that definition of a highway order?
I believe it does. As I said, if you look at the top second half of this resolution, it specifically directs that this road become part of the town's roads, becomes part of the system of the town roads, and that it become maintained by the county.
It says for a highway order, and all of a sudden this is becoming important, and I didn't think it important earlier, but you seem to be relying on it. So For it to be a highway order, it has to be an order laying out, altering, or discontinuing a highway or a part of a highway, and it has to contain, number one, a legal description of what the order intends to accomplish, and, number two, a scale map of the land affected by the order. Does that meet that requirement?
I'm not sure that does in its totality. I mean, it does describe where this begins, which is in the middle of a section. It identifies which sections it passes through. It identifies where it begins and identifies where it ends. But I really probably should retreat a little because, really, if we look at 8231, it talks about a recorded highway having been laid out. And I guess I would redirect, if I may, then back to definition 4, which says laid out. Because highway orders are used for other things, which can terminate a highway, it can make it a private road, it can even rescind it back to townships if they want. But 82.31 says it has to be laid out.
But you relied on this recorded stuff in sub 8 to get you to where you wanted to go. That is, it could be filed in the county clerk's office. So if you can't get under sub 8, then I don't know if you can pull in that county clerk's argument that you just made.
Well, actually, under subparagraph 8, it says it gives you the option that it may be recorded in the county of the town or in the clerk of the county. And this right here is recorded in the county clerk's office and published by the county clerk.
If it's an order. That only applies to orders.
All right. Yeah, so. But I think the clear reading talks about being laid out, and that takes a formal act by the municipality. It puts people on notice. That's the purpose of it, is are people on notice that this is, in fact, a county highway. This resolution certainly does that. It's been published and is still in record or book form today.
So where does that get you all?
I'm sorry.
What's the end result of your
My position
analysis of the state statutes?
Is the same as what was done with the Court of Appeals, and that is, if you're going to apply 82.31, you first must determine if it's a laid-out highway. A laid-out highway means a formal act or process by a municipality. I'm saying I don't know of any other act more formal than a municipality does than a county board resolution, which was done in this case, identifying this case, and it was, in fact, then recorded and ultimately even published through the county clerk. The only case that I'm aware of that distinguishes it is the Murky, I know I'm not pronouncing it correctly, versus Barron's case. And what that case, Murky versus Barron's, which is 43 with second one, this is the same case that the Court of Appeals distinguished on page 7 in their footnotes. That case, it was simply a clerk's notation in a town record book was they found insufficient to be a formal municipal act. And I can understand that. What they had in this case was simply in a records book that was kept by the clerk, a notation that this had occurred. The Court of Appeals here distinguished that and said, look, this is a formal county board meeting. The vote is kept. The chairman signs it. All the formalities necessary under the statutes are followed. It is clearly different than the Murky versus Barron's case. So what we have is a case telling us what it's not, but I also think that the statutes are for clear concern for statutes, anyhow, what a laid-out highway is, and I don't know how else I would actually interpret 82.31.1.
So if I've got this straight, you're saying the highway was laid out in 1939, right? So then you'd look at the statutes from 1939, at least in part, right? No? Yes?
I don't think you can. I think what they're, you know, it's just the statutes are talking about a highway being laid out. They don't say if it was laid, all it has to do is be laid out 3 years ago. It could be 10 years ago, it could be 20, it could be 30. It just happens that our resolution was in 1939. I don't think it requires you to go back and look at the statutes in 1939. We laid it out as a county road in 1939. It just happens that this is now the statutes, and it tells us if you go back before January 1st, 2005, this is what controls. These statutes are what controls.
So then back then, did the county compensate the Alfelts for laying out the road?
I personally don't know. I don't know if there's a record. I don't know if there's, I mean, I've looked at many of these, and back then, I don't know that there was really compensation. I mean, I think
statutes talk about it. They talk about if any owner of lands through which a highway shall be laid out, widened, altered, or discontinued shall not be satisfied with the sum awarded for damages. And it talks about how they can appeal that.
I don't know if there's a record indicating whether they were in fact compensated or not. I think, again, if the county had been plowing it, grading it, maintaining it, usually, basically, then you went along and just surveyed it and defined what you had. So I can't tell you there was or there was not additional compensation at that time. When I have seen them, which has not been certainly after 1939, they're actually very nominal as far as the consideration. You're only talking a few yards here, you know, a tenth of an acre or something, if it was like through adverse possession by the county or eminent domain. Those are very nominal. But I can't tell you honestly if it was or was not compensated. I've not had it. It's not been raised as an issue throughout this case.
So what kind of opinion do you think we should write?
Well, I think that the Court of Appeals should be affirmed.
You know, I know that. What do you really like about the Court of Appeals other than the end result, and what don't you like?
I like the way that they distinguished between 8231-1 and 8231-2. These are the way is to determine if the county highway is, in fact, four rods absolute, or is it four rods and it's subject to a rebuttable presumption, which would kick in the Threfel case. I think the Court of Appeals simply said, look, it meets the requirements. It was laid out. It was published. It is four rods. We don't need to talk about presumptions. We don't need to talk about damages because it's been four rods since 1939, and we don't need to go any farther. And that's really what the Court of Appeals decided. And one of the things I guess I should point out, it was in my notes, is a question I was expecting is, well, why wasn't this brought up at the circuit court? And quite frankly, we were all checking the highway commissioner's records and history and books. And I have to give credit, it was the Affelts that actually went into the county clerk's records and found the published resolution. So it wasn't brought up at the circuit court level because we hadn't found it. And it was during the research and preparing for the briefs to the Court of Appeals that this resolution was detected. And once, you know, we submitted two briefs to the Court of Appeals. Once they saw the resolution existed, they asked us to brief it and were able to then summarily say, it's a four-rod highway. We don't have to go into Threfel. We don't have to go into presumptions. We know it's four rods.
The 1939 resolution was not before the circuit court?
A county board resolution would never go. No, it was not. It was, we did not, that's why the circuit court, quite frankly, directed us. I think it was all kind of accepted that if we're going to talk about rebutting a presumption, we're going to talk about the Threfel versus Muscadet case. And so that's what we were directed to attention our briefs to. But it was why they were preparing and I was preparing the briefs to the Court of Appeals that they referenced, by the way, this resolution from 1939 exists, which is what prompted the Court of Appeals to say, send us another brief. We want to know more about this resolution. And obviously with the discovery of the resolution, and, you know, I have to admit it was right in front of us all along, but as we get into habits, we get into routines, whenever I am asked to go check the existence of a road, if it's, three or four rods, you go to the highway commissioner because he has records and keeps all the records, and it wasn't there. So it was located actually right where it belonged in the county clerk's office. That's why we were asked to resubmit the brief, and that's why the Court of Appeals dealt with it in the way that they did.
So your position is that this falls under 82.31?
31.1, yes, so paragraph 1.
And which sentence, the first or second?
The first one. Any recorded highway that has been laid out under this chapter is a legal highway only to the extent that it's been open and worked for 3 years. It's been undisputed this has been in existence not only 3 years, but probably 80 years. And it has been laid out, as we've described. In a legal highway, you have to then go to statute 8150, and 8150 tells you a legal highway is four rods.
Counsel, if you are relying on the first sentence of 8231, that brings me full circle back to whether or not this is a recorded highway. The first words of 8231, the first sentence upon which you're relying, says any recorded highway that has been laid out. So is this a recorded highway? Well, in order to determine if it's a recorded highway, you look at the definition for recorded highway, and that's found in 82.01 sub 8. Recorded highway means highway for which the order laying out or altering. You're taking me right back to, is this resolution an order, and if so, what authority can you cite for it?
Actually, go to, if you would please, to the second half of that definition under subparagraph 8.
Yes.
It states, or, so you had your whole first one, or for highways that were laid out or altered before January 1st, 2005, and it's our position that this road was laid out, which was simply an act by a municipality, and it was certainly done before January 1st, 2005, then it must exist in the office of the clerk of the town or of the county in which the highway is situated. This laying out, this resolution that laid out the highway is in fact recorded in the Green Lake County clerk's office, and the exhibit that you see is the publishing from the clerk's office of that resolution. So it's the second half of 08 that allows this to be published, I mean recorded. This happens to even additionally be published through the county clerk's office, which this is.
And is this not a recorded highway?
It is. When it talks about recording, it's not recording specifically with the Register of Deeds. The second half of that definition of recording indicates that it may be recorded in the office of the clerk of the town or the county. It is, in fact, recorded in the county clerk's office, and that's where the publication came from.
Okay, well, there's any dead horse around here, but I'm not going to beat a dead horse. I still don't see your order, but that's okay. One of the things in the Court of Appeals opinion that sings to me is the same kind of concern that arose in the Borst opinion, and that is we can't have property lines roads being determined to be one width in front of one property owner and another width in front of another property owner, because that kind of creates havoc. That was going on in the Borst opinion, too. Is that the situation here?
Please, go forward. If you were to go then to 82.31.2, so now we're going to raising that there's a presumption of 66 feet, then they have to rebut the presumption. Yes, you can't have a county highway that is 4 miles long and have the first half of it be 3 rods and the next 3.5 miles be 4 rods, especially if you apply what I said before about doing reconstruction of bringing equipment and doing the work that's necessary, it could affect speed limits. You can't have a speed limit for 35 miles an hour because this is narrower and then go wider. One other thing, if I could point out, that was brought up about them having a shed in this right-of-way. They actually petitioned the Green Lake County Board of Adjustment to have this as a variance. They also signed a waiver and indemnification agreement as part of that. It's in your records, indicating that they would not receive damages or raise a claim if, in fact, that highway was widened. And that is in the Board of Adjustment Minutes 1992 that was submitted in the Court of Appeals brief. They actually signed, they acknowledged they were in the right-of-way. They signed a waiver and indemnification if the road was widened in the future.
But they acknowledged they were in the right-of-way, or they acknowledged that they were within the setback area?
Excuse me. I'm using those words interchangeable, but the setback. Our setback and our right-of-way is basically 33 feet from the center line in each direction.
Gives you 66 feet. That's where you get 66 feet.
Yes.
And you're relying on 8218 as the 66 feet. Is that right?
And also 8150 says if it's a highway, it's a four-rod highway.
I was looking for 81. There is no chapter 81 left.
I'm sorry. 8250. It's
all right. So that makes more sense to me.
Excuse me. I misstated.
Not a problem.
Mr. Selsing, I'm a little confused about something. I'm looking at the Court of Appeals opinion. It says, on November 6, 2008, the county moved for summary judgment. Okay. I see in the materials submitted by the opposing party an affidavit dated December 8, 2008, signed by Joyce Affel. And I see as an exhibit in that resolution number 38. And then I see that Judge McMonagle entered summary judgment in, 2009. Wasn't that affidavit presented to the court?
I can't tell you. I know that they submitted what I, in my outline, described as self-serving affidavits. For them to simply say, we have fences and trees, to me was a self-serving affidavit. I can't tell you. I know they had at least two family members submit affidavits to the circuit court. I guess put my hands right on the one you're talking, but obviously the dates would speak for themselves if they were added to the Court of Appeals. I don't know.
Counsel, I just have to clarify this. In light of what Justice Bradley's been asking you, do you see in 8221 sub 2 where it talks about how you go about initiating the procedure and it discusses contents of the application or resolution? Do you have that statute in front of you? It says an application or resolution to initiate the procedure for highways shall contain a legal description to be discontinued or the proposed highway to be laid out, altered, and a scale map of the land that would be affected. And then it says upon completion of the requirements, the governing bodies acting together shall proceed under 8210 to 8213. So that seems to be like a resolution as part of the process, but isn't the equal to an order. And then if you look at 8210 through 8213, 8212, which is within 8210 to 8213, is labeled highway order. And then it says a town board shall make a determination upon any application or resolution to lay out, alter, or discontinue within 90 days after receipt of the application or order, or introduction of a resolution. So Seems to me a resolution and an order are different, or at least contemplated that they are two different things. 8212 speaks of highway order, and it's the determination of the resolution. And then, you know, in 8221, sub 2, it talks about when you want to initiate this, you do a resolution, then you go through 8210 through 8213. And even 8210 sub 2 talks about a resolution, and that's how you initiate the process. And that has the legal description, a scale map, and then you give notice, and then owners have the right to do certain things, you have a meeting, and then the determination is the highway order. No? Do I?
I think what I'm reading here is, of course, see, town boards can basically disown a road and it falls back to the county. Or people can have a private road and they can petition the town to make it a public road so that the public has to maintain it and plow it and grade it. And there's a process that you go through. I believe what it's saying is the resolution is the document. That starts it. The order is the result.
Where's the order?
The order is in this resolution where it states, I'm going to go by memory because I've lost my place, but the resolution that was passed directed that it be added to the list of town roads and directed that it become subject to the county maintenance. That was part of the resolution that...
So in other words, when the statutes use the term resolution and they use the term order... And they say you first do a resolution and then you go through the process and the town board makes a determination based on a resolution, that the order and the resolution really are the same thing here, is what you're saying.
Yes, it starts as a resolution. I guess all you have to understand is this could have been defeated. This could have been denied 3-18 instead of approved 18-3. So you had a resolution, but you wouldn't have had an order because it wasn't approved. Once the resolution is approved by the county board, within the authority of the county board, it becomes their order, and part of their order was to add it to that town roads and to direct the county to begin maintaining it.
And they have the vote at the bottom of the resolution.
They have the vote of 18-3 passing it. They have the signature of the county board chairman and attesting of county clerk, which is what's required to formalize a county resolution.
Chief, if I may.
I
was going to stop beating this dead horse, but you kind of touched upon it and pulled out a new statute for me, Justice Ziegler. So I'm going to follow up with Justice Ziegler's focus on the statute 82.12, highway order, and look at 82.12 sub 2. And it, sub 1 deals with an application or resolution. And sub 2 then says... If the board determines under sub 1, which refers to an application or resolution, to lay out, alter, or discontinue any highway, it shall issue a highway order. The highway order shall be recorded with the Register of Deeds for the county in which the highway is or will be located and shall be filed with the town clerk, etc. Now, I just don't know enough about this, but it sure looks to me like a resolution is something different than an order. But I just don't know that. But it looks to me like that.
Again, I'm trying to repeat myself, but I don't want to repeat, but the resolution is the actual document that goes in front of the body. It's like maybe you'd say a petition or a motion.
Yeah.
So if the motion's there, the resolution isn't like a motion.
Yeah.
If it's denied, it's gone. If there is, but if it's approved, it then becomes an order. In this case of the county board, similar as an order would be following an approved motion by a court. I hope that analysis works.
I don't see how you can hold a 1939 board to the statutory requirements in 2009. I'd have to know what was required in 1939 when this was done. Did they say resolution? Did they say order? Did they say anything?
I mean, how can you go back and apply the statute?
I can only guess or speculate. You know, highways are like a lot of things. They go through evolution. I mean, before they were just gravel, you know, then they're blacktop. Some are concrete. Some are maybe 12 feet on each side. Some are 16 feet on each side. Then the rules changed and they added how much feet of gravel you'll have on each side. So I think it's been an ongoing change in evolution of what's expected or what's required of a highway. And it all goes also to public safety, that the more demand for public safety over the years, the wider the road itself, the wider the gravel. And that's why this statute today basically say you go back 3 years if it's recorded, you go back only 10 years if it's unrecorded, because I think they recognize this has been an ongoing process involving highways.
Well, 80.07 in 1939 says the supervisors, when supervisors shall lay out, alter, widen, discontinue a highway, they shall make and sign an order, therefore, incorporating a description. And the order shall be filed and recorded in the office of the town clerk. And I don't know enough about municipal law, but I'm wondering whether or not you don't have a case or a statute that says a resolution can be an order.
I don't know of one, no. It's kind of like finding a statute or thing that says a motion is an order. No, it's a motion. We recognize what it is. It's a request. A resolution is a request for a decision to be made by a county board. If they make it favorably, it becomes
their an order.
Yes.
Thank you. Are there any other questions?
Thank you all.
With that, counsel, you have 5 minutes in rebuttal.
If I could pick up where, Justice, where you left off on Section 80.07, that was the statute that laid out the procedure in 1939 that presumably these supervisors were aware of in how to make a legal highway, how to create this highway, how to lay it out. It specifically applies to laid out highways, applies to a few other things like altering and widening the highway, but actually laying out the highway or discontinuing the highway, but it requires it to be signed by the supervisors. The document that you see that's part of the record is not signed by anybody.
I know, but you've got a curative statute.
But then it also says, down at the bottom of 80.7, it says, in case said supervisors shall fail to file such order and award within the 10 days aforesaid, they shall be deemed to have decided against such application.
Did they file it?
If they shall be deemed to have decided against such application. To me, and it's talking about the filing specifically, not making the decision yay or nay.
Counsel, I saw that, but it goes towards award of damages, too.
Correct. And that was cured by a later statute.
Okay. So I didn't know what that referred to. Was it recorded within 7 days or 10 days?
It, as far as I know, it wasn't recorded anywhere. Because at this point, under 80.07, it had to be done in the town clerk's office, and we don't have anything in the town clerk's office.
Where was this recorded? Anywhere?
This, they're saying, is part of the county's records as a part of it's printed in the county's volumes of their meeting minutes. Mm-hmm. But it's not recorded in the town clerk. Now, at a later point in time, it became allowed to be filed with the county clerk's office. And then finally, with the most recent changes in 2005, then it required it to be filed in the Register of Deeds office. And then we were talking about the statute with Mr. Selsing about where he referred to it says, it appears to be kind of retroactive. Looking back at prior statutes, it's okay if it's filed with the town clerk, the county clerk, or the Register of Deeds. Well, that's because the statute has evolved over time. At the time that this was done, the only place to make this a recorded statute was in the town clerk's office. Over time, they added the county clerk's office as a place for it to be filed, and then again, finally, now it's the Register of Deeds office. Now, certainly, that's because in looking at these things, we have to provide people with notice. Where am I supposed to look if I'm the title insurer looking at what the limits are of the county's right-of-way? Where, what office am I supposed to look at? You know, frankly, I think they did the right thing now by making it at the Register of Deeds office. But at this time, it was at the town clerk's office, and this record, this document was not filed at the town clerk's office.
Counsel, I want to return you to the early question of Justice Gableman. What's wrong with the Court of Appeals opinion?
Well, there's a couple things wrong with it. One that was discussed with Mr. Selsing is this referral to 8150 about the width of the highway is 4 rods, and it's required by 8150. I don't know. I look at 8150, and it provides widths of the highway depending on if there's a certain amount of traffic per day. And some of them are 3 rods, some of them are 4 rods. It's different for each type of highway depending on the traffic. We don't have anything in the record as to what the traffic level is on County Highway B. So how the Court of Appeals determined that for some reason this is automatically 4 rods based on, I don't see where they got that part of their opinion at all. Now, the other part of their opinion, they dismiss Murky in a footnote. And
that goes to, they say that the fact that it's recorded, I'm looking at paragraph 13, the last sentence of their opinion, the status of Highway B as a recorded highway is undisputed. I kind of smiled because you seem to be disputing that left and right here today.
Absolutely.
And then they say, upon reflection in a footnote, that you appear to retreat from this undisputed premise. And then
now,
they
certainly, is it a record? Absolutely. Is this county highway resolution, which my clients found in the county clerk's office of the collection of their minutes, is that a record of the county clerk's action? Absolutely. But is it recorded as considered by this? I don't think so. So that's the distinction here. We're talking about, is it a record, a noun, or is it recorded, a verb? And they're two different words as used, and I think the Court of Appeals kind of blows over that distinction. Now, Murky, the issue in that case was whether the road was public or private, and they point to a town clerk provision that was at the town clerk's office at the time that this was created, and it was in 1932, so we know that the statute that we're talking about in 1939, that was the same one that was there in 1932, it fell far short of the procedural requirements for laying out public highways. And so then they looked at, okay, well, it's not recorded. It's, that order is defective. We're not going to say that that's a recorded highway, but then they still looked at whether it was a laid out highway. Now, that one in distinction, and if you take a look at that, that's talking about creating the highway. It hadn't yet been in existence because that 1932 town record book entry was entered, and then the road was cleared in 1935, partially graveled in 1937 and 1938. It was the act. They said that it was a laid out highway because even though it wasn't properly done, everybody thought that's what they were doing at the time. They were creating a new highway, and then they relied on that to clear the land and to gravel it and everything. Here we have an existing highway. This had been in long existence, and they were just taking what already existed and what the parameters were of that right-of-way and acquiring that, not laying it out. And I think that's a strong distinction.
Thank you, Counsel. I want to thank Ms. Snow and Mr. Silsing for their arguments today. This whole concept of laying out highways and old surveys, new surveys, and the use of the land, these cases don't come frequently. They are 19th century cases for the most part, rather than 20th or 21st cases. So we've had two in the last few months, Forrest and this, and there's great interest in this area of the law, which continues. So thank you for bringing these cases before us. This concludes our hearing in 09AP2350, Affelt versus Green Lake County. The court is in recess until next week when it will hear further oral arguments. The court can meet if it wishes for at 2:35 for a few moments, but need not if it doesn't wish. Pardon me?
You have to leave.
I have to leave.